In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. I recall when Swami Sharon and I, we had our child. Right after Joshua was born, I remember picking him up and looking at him and just thinking to myself about this great gift that God has given me and wondering to myself, you know, or praying actually, I remember praying that God would make this child useful in whatever aspect of his life that God would want to use him. And I remember looking and thinking to myself, you know, wondering what kind of child would this be? What would he be like when he grows up? And I think this is a common question or a common thought that comes to many parents' minds, especially when their first child. I can imagine what Zacharias and Elizabeth were thinking at the birth of their son, John the Baptist. It was said of him when the archangel Gabriel announced the birth of John, the angel told Zacharias that many will rejoice at his birth. He will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, and he will turn many to the Lord. So he was told this at the conception of what this child would be like. And then after the child was born, in which we celebrate today, the birth of John the Baptist, finally his tongue was loosed and he spoke praise and glory to God. If you look at the praise of Zechariah, that the first thing he said after his tongue was loosed, the first almost 9 verses or so, he speaks praise and glory to God. And in the last couple of verses, he speaks about his son, John. He says, regarding the Lord, blesses the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. Here he's referring to Christ, of course, not John the Baptist. And raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. So if we look at what was told of John the Baptist in his birth, and what Zechariah spoke about after he was born, we notice one common thing. Both of them were related to God. Both of them were related. Both the prophecy of who this man would be, and also the praise of Zacharias after he was born. And actually, each one of us, after we are baptized, we also are identified by God or by Christ. After we come out of the baptismal font, we are known as being Christians, the people of Christ. And St. Paul tells us in his letter to the Galatians, he tells us, for as many of you as are baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So have put on Christ. This means that we have put on the identity of Christ. We have become members of his body, and now his identity becomes our identity. There are many things in life that form one's identity. The name forms the identity. Our relationships form our identity. Our physical appearance forms our identity. Our nationality forms our identity. So if we look at each one of those items that form our identity as humans, each one of them should be changed and transformed to be in the identity of Christ. If we look at our names, are labels for us. When the child is born, the parents pick a name, and this becomes the label for this person. So when you look at anybody, you say, okay, this person is Mina. When you look at me, you say, this person is Abuna James. So it's my identity, or it's every one of us' identity. And these labels are also means of association. We say our first name is our identity, and our last name is our association, the association of the family we come from, right? And if it's somebody in the monastery, it's Abuna Fulan, Abuna Musa, il Baramosi, meaning he's from the Baramon monastery. So our names are both labels and a means of association. And it's how we identify ourselves and how people identify us before the world. And automatically, when we have a name, we are associated with the person of that name. You hear many times people say, yani maybe parents will say to their children, you're going to make our family look bad if you do keza, keza, keza. Right? Because you bear the name of the family. And when we go on retreats, I always tell the guys, you know, please, and the girls when we're together, please be on your best behavior because you're an image of what? Of St. Mary's. Right? And if you look at any name tag, if you go to any of the retreats, it has the name, the church that you're associated with. So it's an association. So when we are, after we're baptized and we put on Christ, we are associated with Him. And what are the benefits of putting on this name, of being associated with Him? We get freedom. Christ freed us from the bondages of the bondage of sin. We became part of the winning team. You know, imagine if, you know, I were to say we're going to split, you know, the church into two teams, and this team is automatically is going to win. I don't think any of us are going to be on the losing team. None of us, when we root for any team, we root for them because we know that they're going to lose. Although they frequently lose, but we don't root for them because they will lose. We root with the hope that they will win. So we know that Christ and Satan already fought the battle, and the winner was Christ. So when we put on Christ, we are sure to be part of the winning team. We also get honor, the honor that Christ had upon Himself, He also gives to us as being members of His body. We also get forgiveness and reconciliation with the Father. So all of these benefits we get from just becoming members of His body through baptism. But when we put on this name, after we come out from the baptismal font, yes, we get the honor. Yes, we get the blessing. Yes, we get the forgiveness. But also, bearing this name also comes at a cost, or comes at a price, which is the cross. Sometimes, bearing the name of Christ entails us carrying a cross. If you look at our brothers and sisters in Egypt, and many of you who came from Egypt, bearing the name of Christ cost you a passing grade, cost you a job, cost you a promotion in a job, cost you your dignity, and even cost you sometimes your life. So as members of the body of Christ, we obtain the privileges of being called by His name, but knowing that it is at a cost. And as Saint Paul says to the Philippians, he says, therefore God also has highly exalted Him and given Him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of those in heaven, of those on earth, and those under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So we are being called by the name above every name, the name at which everybody in heaven and everybody on earth and everybody beneath the earth bows down at His name. And we are called by this name. And that's why the church, you know, encourages us and teaches us to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus throughout the day. You know, if we're having a problem with a sin or a temptation, the church teaches us to say the Jesus prayer, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Because there is power in the name of Christ, in the name of Jesus. It's not just a regular name like anybody else's name, but there is power associated with it. So that's the name. It forms the first part of our identity. The second is our relationships. Our relationships form part of our identity. The first type of relationships that can form our identity are our familial relationships, the relationships between a family and how we relate to each other. I'll read off a couple of statistics and I'll leave it, you know, at this. Consider these. It says, this is from the Journal of Marriage and Family. It says, even after controlling for community content, there is significantly more drug use among children who do not live with their mother and father. Also, it says, in a study examining father involvement with 134 children of adolescent mothers over the first 10 years of life, researchers have found that father-child contact was associated with better social, emotional, and academic functioning. The results indicated that children with more involved fathers experience fewer behavioral problems and score higher on reading achievements. This study showed the significance of the role of fathers in the lives of at-risk children, even in case of non-resident fathers. So we see here the importance of father involvement in the lives of our children. And yet some of us, whether father or mother, choose to sacrifice this time with our children for pleasures. So we have the familiar relationships that help form our identity. We also have our friends, our social, friends that help form our identity. There's an ancient proverb that says, tell me who your friends are, and I will tell you who you are. And St. Paul tells us, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good morals or good habits. So we're warned that if we keep company with, people that are going to be a bad influence on us or practicing bad things, these things will be what the same manner that I do. People will come to confession, Abuna, I'm sorry, but I say, foul language. First question I'll ask, are you hanging around anybody that says foul language? Yeah, a little bit, but I try to avoid it. Are you listening to music with bad lyrics in it? Yeah. Oh, there's the culprit. So the point here is, surround yourself with the friends that you want to become. Surround yourself with the friends that you want to become. I remember in college, I was having trouble with one of my, I think it was organic chemistry. So I found these two, students that were always got, it seemed to get A's on the exam. I figured, okay, I'll be their friend and figure out how they're studying. Maybe some of it might rub off on me. I didn't get an A, but I got a B. So I was satisfied. It's better than me trying to do it on my own. So we want to surround yourself with people that you want to become. The third, so we said, first is our name, it forms our identity, our relationships, and also our physical appearance forms our identity. If you look at St. John the Baptist and the Pharisees, both of them preach the same scripture, preach the same message. But we look at the life of John the Baptist, and it says of him that he dwelt in the wilderness, so he renounced the world and its vain glory. He was clothed with camel's hair, so he wasn't concerned with the external appearance. And he ate locusts and wild honey, so he was content with very little. He lived an ascetic life. Then you look at the Pharisees, who make their garments long, pray in the middle of the temple, make laws that are burdensome for the people. And you look and say, but how come? Both of them have the same law, have the same scripture. But one is identified with asceticism and meekness, and the other with pride, thanking God that they are better than the sinners. So both preach the same, but which would be more compelling? If both of them preach to you the same message, which one would be more compelling to you? I think most of us would agree that the one who lived an ascetic life would be the one with the more compelling message. Christ tells us, or St. Paul tells us, that we are ambassadors for Christ. That we are ambassadors for Christ, meaning that we're representatives. We represent Christ here on earth. How many of us know somebody that stopped coming to church because of a bad experience? I think most of us know somebody that has come to church, whether they received a bad look, a bad word, or whatever it might be, they don't come anymore because of something that one of the ambassadors of Christ have done to them. So we don't act as ambassadors all the time. So if you look at our physical appearance and how we carry ourselves, we can definitely see that it's worth investing in my physical appearance to bear the image of Christ than to not. I think many people spend many years forming for themselves titles on earth, whether it be, you know, a doctor, servant, prestige, abuna, being cool, whatever it might be, being, somebody that's popular. We spend many years building for ourselves these names or these identities, but none of them will actually be remembered. None of them will be remembered. You know, the memory of the unrighteous quickly fades after death, but the memory of the righteous endures forever. We look at the synaxarium and we see the memory of the righteous. We see the memory of the widow that put in 2 mites in the money box. Christ said that this will be mentioned, it's mentioned in the gospel as a memorial to her. So he attested that the memory of the righteous will last forever. So the reality of the matter is that a testimony will outlast a title. The testimony of my life will outlast the title that I'm striving after. So part of our identity in Christ is how we present Him to the world. How does the world see Christ through me? Is it transparent? Do they see Christ through me transparently? Or do they see Christ but colored with my own filter and my own opinions and my own maybe ideas? The last and final part of identity is our nationality. The definition of nationality is a status of belonging to a particular nation. So a status of belonging. And this status of belonging is typically a choice. So many of us that may be moved from Egypt, that have our citizenship in Egypt, when we come here, we have the option of maintaining that citizenship or becoming citizens of the United States. So we have the option. So citizenship is a choice that we make. St. Paul tells us, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." So our citizenship, if it is in heaven, we set our minds on the things that are in heaven. But if our citizenship is of earth, we set our minds on the things that are earthly. He also says to the Philippians, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." So he tells us that our citizenship is in heaven. Once we come out of that baptismal font, we become citizens in heaven. And it's up to us to maintain that citizenship, to abide by His commands, to abide by His rules. The same thing, when we're citizens of the United States, we're expected to abide by the laws of the United States. If you don't abide by those laws, guess what? You go to prison, and these rights are stripped from you. So the same thing, we take the citizenship of heaven, but we must abide by His commandments and His laws to maintain the rights and the benefits of this citizenship. But sometimes we fall into an identity problem. We fall into a problem with our identity. Sometimes we portray a false identity. It can be a false positive or a false negative. A false positive means that we portray to be good, but in reality, deep down inside, we're not very good. We portray that we go to church and we pray all the 7 prayers and we do all this because I want to please a girl or please a guy. So we portray to be somebody that we're really not. This is a false positive. The false negative is portraying to be somebody maybe that carries negative behaviors when we really don't want to. You might ask, Buna, why would anybody do that? Peer pressure. Peer pressure. Sometimes people yield to pressure to be somebody that they are not. Why we should yield to this kind of pressure when we know that our citizenship with Christ will lead us to heaven? Because peer pressure. And that's why I said in the beginning that surround yourself with the people you want to become. So you don't have this pressure to be somebody that you really don't want to be. The only solution for us to change is to break those relationships with those people that are negatively influencing us. So what makes our identity? What will people say of us? The people said of and asked the question of John the Baptist, what kind of child would this be? And I pose to you a question today, what kind of person will you be? What kind of person will I be? Will I be one that carries the identity of Christ, bearing his name, having the same physical appearance, having the godly relationships that Christ encourages, and do I consider myself a citizen in heaven, and do I want to keep that citizenship? May God grant us the ability and the blessing during this beginning of this year to look at ourselves and ask ourselves, who do I identify myself with? Is it Christ or is it the world? May God grant us the blessing and the strength to identify with him for his glory now and forever unto the ages of all ages. Amen.